As Congress tries to piece together the big National Defense Authorization Act for 2015, it's also looking back to the version of the bill it passed 2 years ago and asking whatever happened with some of those provisions. The 2013 version of the NDAA included several provisions dealing with small business that made advocates happy, but several of those legal changes are still awaiting agency regulations to actually implement them. The House Small Business Committee held a hearing on the matter earlier today. Larry Allen was among the witnesses, and he's president of Allen Federal Business Partners and one of our regular guests on procurement matters. Larry joins us now. Hi there, Larry.
Good afternoon, Jared. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. So even though these provisions all went into an NDAA, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were all government-wide, and the holdup in each case is SBA. Is that right?
That's right, Jared. We were talking today about three provisions of the FY13 Defense Authorization Act, something that was passed over 550 days ago, and we still have these key provisions meant to protect small business not implemented.
So let's see if we can be efficient enough to hit all three of them in the time we have. We'll see how it goes. First one, safe harbor provisions for small businesses that get advice from procurement technical assistance centers or small business development centers. Briefly explain what those are and what these protections would be.
Well, Jared, a lot of these are centered in universities. George Mason has a PTAC, for example. So these are groups that aren't really government in nature but are dispensing advice on behalf of the government. And as such, companies have a legitimate reason to believe that they're getting information from a government-authorized source because they're funded by government dollars. And this provision, 1681, would limit companies' liability if they did something wrong based on incorrect advice they got from a technical assistance or small business development center.
Something wrong, meaning something illegal, or what kind of wrongdoing are we trying to shield people from?
But I think what we're talking about here is, you know, not somebody who's setting out intentionally to do something wrong, but, you know, if a PTAC person told the company to fill out their form this way and answer this question yes, and it turns out later on that the answer really should have been no, well, you know, the company made a reasonable estimation to rely on the information, and they shouldn't necessarily be held totally accountable for that.
And another one of the potential examples you call out is, you know, relying on advice that could potentially lead to a company being classified in a given procurement as small when they're really not. How would that sort of thing happen, and what would the consequences be?
Well, you know, this has been a big issue for Congress and small businesses, too. And 1682 is the provision of the law we're talking about here that would make it easier to identify and suspend businesses that incorrectly certify themselves as small. And that happens for a variety of reasons. It can happen during an acquisition where suddenly you're bought by a larger company, you're not small, or congratulations, your business has grown and you have not changed your certification in the government SAM system. And, you know, government agency falsely awards something to you based on an incorrect size status, Section 1682 would make it easier to go after bad actors and also really help legitimate small businesses.
So if you're somebody who was misclassified, not because of some kind of intentional deception, but because of an IT error or something, you shouldn't get what you call the death penalty, a suspension or debarment.
That's right. That's right.
Section, the last one, I think we're actually going to make it through all three of them. Section 1683 also related, I'm sorry, it's not related to suspension and debarment, is it? What's 1683?
No, it does talk about suspension.
Oh, it does, that's right, yes.
A report to Congress provision, and the thing that I like about Section 1683 is not that we're generating another congressional report, but that if we use the information gathered correctly, Jared, this can help Congress and the SBA make smarter rules to govern small business use in the government moving forward. So what we're really here talking about is if you're going to collect data, this is good data to collect about suspension and debarment, and it also tells us, if we use it correctly, what types of businesses we should be flagging moving forward and which types of businesses might need a little extra help with the complexities of the procurement process.
And there are so many calls so frequently from certain sections of Congress for agencies to increase the use of suspension and debarment to punish what they see as malfeasance in government contracting. It sounds like this is something that might be able to educate members of Congress about what suspension and debarment actually is and where it's appropriate.
Well, we're certainly hopeful for that, because suspension and debarment shouldn't be politicized. It should be a business decision that the government makes based on evidence of a company not behaving correctly on its government contracts and not having gotten the message on any remedial action that may have tried to been enacted. So hopefully that when Congress gets this type of report, once the SBA puts the rule in place, it'll be news to everybody, and we'll all make smarter decisions.
As you said, all three of these sections of the 13 NDAA that you're talking about are still subject to rulemaking by SBA. Do we have any sense of what the holdup is between all three of them, or is there more than one reason why these aren't getting done?
I think the major reason, Jared, is because there are a lot of rules that Congress passes, and not enough people in the SBA to get them all moving. But, you know, not to let SBA off the hook totally, I think there's a little introspective navel-gazing going on at the agency that makes it difficult to get things moved through on a timely basis. And that was really the basis for the hearing today, is that Congress not pleased with the amount of time it's taken the SBA to get its act together. And the thing I thought was really notable is that although this was a subcommittee hearing, there were five members of Congress who attended the hearing, and that's a very large number for a subcommittee hearing on this topic. So it really, I think, sends a message that Congress expects the SBA to get off the dime and move forward.